Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to join me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled The Affliction of Joseph. And those words are taken from the book of Amos, the herdsman prophet that was called to prophesy against Israel during a time of great corruption and perversity in the people of God. They had fallen into idolatry. They were not concerned about the things of God. In fact, perhaps nothing is better than to actually read the word of the Lord through the prophet. In chapter 6, Amos begins by saying, "In the name of the Lord, woe to them that are at ease in Zion and that trust in the mountain of Samaria." Down to verse 3, "Ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seat of violence to come near." You know, there are those that are in their prosperity, in their comfort, in their luxury. They're convinced that they shall continue that way as long as they desire. They're putting far away the evil day. They don't know that it is nigh at hand, and they cause the seed of violence to come near. They allow violence and bribery and corruption and evil and wickedness, the things the Lord hates, and He is looking and His people. This, He's talking to His people. He's not talking to a heathen nation. And reading on now in verse 4, that lie, he's speaking now to those that are guilty, those that lie upon beds of ivory, the wealthy, the rich, the prosperous, and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent of themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief instruments. They're doing all of this, making life comfortable, enjoying their luxury, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph, for the ruin, for the devastation that has occurred spiritually and even naturally for the people of God. And then in verse 7, "Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed." The Lord God, in verse 8, "has sworn by himself, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob, I hate his palaces. Therefore," those are strong words, "therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein, and it shall come to pass, if there remain 10 men in one house, that they shall die." And we see that the form of worship, the form of divine worship acceptable to God, had already been well established before this time. There, in a place called Mount Gibeon, the tabernacle had been set up for sacrifices, and it was there from the time of the destruction of the priests of Nob. Do you remember that? Saul was angry with all the priests of Nob because they had aided David as he was escaping, and they gave him some of the holy bread, and he took Goliath's sword, and he wiped out, not only killed all the priests, or had a Moabite do it, because the Israelites would not put their hands to the priests, and they wiped out the city, the women, the children, the cattle. And from that time until the building of the temple, the tabernacle was in Mount Gibeon. And then, of course, we know that the actual tabernacle of David, the very Ark of God, David brought when he became king over all of Israel, not just Judah, he brought it to Jerusalem. And so what is God's answer for all these, the wickedness and the evil of that time? What is God's answer for us today? Because it's so disheartening. It's heart-wrenching to listen to the evening news, the school shootings and the violence and the murder and the mayhem, wars and rumors of wars, so much evil abounding in our land and in the nations, the confusion and tumult of the nations around the world. What is God's answer? Well, as it was in the time of Amos, it is a faithful witness. Amos was God's faithful witness at that moment in time, and God now today has a many-membered body, perhaps unknown, not recognized by society, but they love God and they're willing to fearlessly speak the name and the word of the Lord to whoever has ears to hear. Listen to what the Lord speaks through Amos in chapter 7. Thus hath the Lord God shewed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up the latter growth, the harvest time, and it was the latter growth after the king's growing. And it came to pass that when they had met an end of eating the grass of the land, he saw this devastation. He said, then, O Lord God, forgive. He was interceding. I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. And it says, the Lord repented. For this it shall not be, saith the Lord. See the importance of the intercessor, our prayers on behalf of those who are weighed in the balance and found wanting. Thus God, in verse 4, thus hath the Lord God shewed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and did eat up a part. Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord. And then, finally, he shows him a vision. In verse 7, then he shewed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set my plumb line, and he's doing this today, beloved, in the midst of my people. I will not again pass by them anymore in the high places of Isaac shall be desolate. And he goes on to say, I will rise against the house of Jeroboam. And so we see that God allowed judgment to come, but ultimately it is the word of God. God's word will not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord will not. And God has an end time church. God has never left himself without a witness. That plumb line is the word of God, the righteous judgments and will of God. We're not chosen, beloved, because we're wise or strong or because we're fit or were the instruments for the exhibition of his wisdom and power. Look what God chose at that desperate time in the history of Israel. He chose Amos, a shepherd. He was no prophet. He was neither a prophet's son. He wasn't a priest, but he was a herdsman and gatherer of wild figs. In fact, let me read that. In fact, he is being opposed by Amaziah the priest. And in verse 14, then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And so we see illustrated here God's desire to use the body of Christ, not the professional clergy necessarily, unless they're walking and hearing the word of the Lord and speaking and proclaiming the word of the Lord. But God is wanting his people to rise up to the occasion. Will there be opposition? Yes. Verse 10, then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. And then Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah. He was in northern Israel, and there eat bread and prophesy. But prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. And that's when Amos responded, this was not my idea. It was the Lord who called me to prophesy. So, beloved, we are in a day and in a hour where we are being called to pray as never before. Woe unto those who are at ease in Zion. And beloved, I'm feeling such a burden on my heart, and I know those that are really seeking the Lord a similar burden, that the time is so short, and whatever we must do, we must do it now, not wait till tomorrow. None of us have a guarantee of tomorrow, but let us live each day as if this day is our last. Well, in the moments that remain, because my time is drawing to a close, because this will be the last week I'm going to offer our little devotional booklet, I would like to just share an excerpt from it, a selection of prophecies that the Lord has given over the years. And let me just share one excerpt. My beloved, how your Father takes delight in His people, how His heart is yearned to be understood and loved, and has yearned to be understood and loved by those who would accept and believe His sacrifice of sending His Son Jesus into the world. The angels stood in awe and wonder that God would take on human flesh, and marveled at a love that would go to such great lengths to redeem mankind, made in the very image and likeness of their Creator. Therefore, know that my desire is continually toward you. I watch over you day and night. I know how the enemy has sought to hinder. His onslaught is fierce in this very end of time, for he knows his time is short. But those who heed and do my word are built upon that solid rock foundation, and no storm of life, no tempest of hell can sweep my faithful ones away into destruction. I am your hiding place, your covert from every storm. Allow the Holy Spirit to work within your life. He knows exactly what you need to grow into the fullness of Jesus. His promptings are very gentle, so your heart must not be hardened against His dealings. The Almighty dwells in the high and holy place, and with Him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Jesus said He was going to prepare a place for you. Your Heavenly Father consoles you with blessed assurance that the preparations being made in heaven are almost ready and complete. So rejoice and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Praise God. The announcer will give our contact information. Please write, share your prayer requests, request that little booklet. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.